Do you know who was named the best putting mat in 2022 by My Golf Spy? It was the mats from Birdie Ball. It'll help you sink more putts and make more birdies with a Birdie Ball putting green, all in the comfort of your own home. Check out Birdie Ball online at birdieball.com. Birdie Ball is here to make golf more fun and accessible. Find out more at birdieball.com.
It's time for Grilling at the Green. Join Jeff Tracy as he explores the golfing lifestyle and tries to keep it in the short grass for the hackers, dew sweepers, and turf spankers. Here's Jeff.
Just open up the door and let's take good times in. Tomorrow's going to be better than today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Grilling at the Green here based in Portland. And we've got stations all around, and I'm not going to run through that list for you. And then also the Golf News Network. We thank you for spending this time with us. So I'm very fortunate today. We've got We're very fortunate today. We've got Hughes Norton. He's a super agent. If you don't know who he is, we're going to get into that. His brand new book's been out about a week called Rainmaker. This segment happens to be brought to you by Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended, and also the Oregon Crab Commission from sea to plate. If you've never had Oregon Dungeness crab, I'm pretty sure Hughes probably has, you got to try it. So check it out. The Oregon Crab Commission. Well, welcome Hughes Norton. How are you?
Thanks, Jeff. I'm fine. You're making me hungry there. Stop it.
Well, I happen to do another syndicated show called Barbecue Nation. So, you know, I'm kind of a foodie guy. I did my due diligence here. I read your book. I loved your book. So I'm going to just jump right in and ask you some questions, and then we'll take a run at it here. You know, in the book, you talk about growing up, you had two strong passions, sports and communications. Do you think if you'd chosen the media, your life would be a little different today?
Completely different, Jeff. In fact, we talk about it in the book. I had two job offers coming out of Harvard Business School. One was to go to work for the father of sports marketing and sports management, Mark McCormick, right, at International Management Group. And the other was to become executive assistant to a guy named Tom Murphy. And I know your radio and TV background, you'll recognize that name. He founded Capital Cities Broadcasting, mm-hmm, which went on to great fame, and they actually bought the ABC television network, and eventually the company sold for billions and billions and billions. So it's the road not taken in life. You know, you never know what would have happened, but I'll tell you one thing, I'd be a lot better off financially had I joined Cap Cities and stuck there for 10 years or so.
undoubtedly. You know, you talk about in the book too. I loved one of the things. It's right at the front of the book when you talk about your father's little nuggets, and he said, never feel bad about being alone because you're always in good company. And that seems to have stayed with you on your journey. Do you think that these little things that your father told you, that kind of sparsely, and maybe your ROTC training helped you harness your drive to succeed?
I don't think that particular thing that he shared with me did, but I had occasion, as you'll see in the book, all the way through, to reflect back on those words, because I was alone a lot. I was alone after my wife divorced me. I was alone after Greg Norman fired me. I was alone after Tiger fired me, and then after Mark McCormick fired me. So those words sort of resonated with me along the way. But, you know, my dad didn't make that up. I'm sure he heard that from someone, or someone famous had first said that, but they definitely stuck with me throughout an up and down and up and then back down career.
Well, you know, this book is really the gist of it is about not only your life, but working for McCormick, and what did Sports Illustrated call him, the most powerful man in sports. And you talked about, and you just mentioned it, your first encounter was at Harvard. How big of an impression did Mark McCormick like really hit you with the first time you ever actually physically saw him and heard him speak?
Gigantic. We had a course about entrepreneurs, and Mark came to the class discussion and listened to all the young MBA bucks talk about what was in the case and talk about IMG. And then he got up in front of the class and spoke for 15 or 20 minutes and took questions. He was a riveting presence, good-looking guy, about 6'5". Blonde, kind of commanded the room and talked about this amazing world that none of us at that time in the early 70s had ever heard of before, that sports management was an industry. You know, he started, Jeff, with Arnold Palmer, and then signed Jack Nicklaus and Gary Players. That's not a bad playing hand to start out with.
Right.
And then he built the company from there. But I was fascinated. I couldn't believe that this was a possible job. And I went up to him after class, and he said, send me a letter. And one thing led to another. And I was lucky enough to go to work for him as his executive assistant.
Would you say, Hughes, that he actually created created that industry of sports management and agents? I mean, was he the guy with the impetus? I mean, there was other people out there, but it seems like McCormick just said, in Tiger's words, hello world, and he just grabbed a hold of it.
Yeah, we have a sidebar in the book, Jeff, which is fascinating and well-deserved, I might add, about a fellow named Fred Corcoran, who was really, if you drill down to it, the first sports agent. Of course, he didn't call himself that at the time.
Right.
But Fred Corcoran started out in the 50s, maybe even the late 40s, organizing what was then a sort of scattershot list of or a group of tournaments. It wasn't even the Pro Tour in those days. And he had two very interesting clients in his career, and we talk about this. The first was Sam Snead. Fred Corcoran recommended him. And the second was Ted Williams, because Fred was based in Boston and became friendly with, you know, mm-hmm. what many people think is the greatest hitter baseball's ever seen. And actually organized some golf matches between Ted Williams and Sam Snead back in the day. Can you imagine that? That would be fun to watch. It was always the joke between those two on one of the shows that Fred produced, arguing which was the harder game, you know, baseball or golf. Mm-hmm. And Ted would say to Sam, Sam, hitting a fastball at 95 miles an hour, you have no idea. Hitting is the hardest thing in the world. And Sam would say, Ted, you're wrong. And Ted said, why? And Sam said, in our sport, we got to go play our foul balls.
What was working for McCormick like? I mean, you get out of school, you get $13,000. Even by 1970 standards, that was kind of light a little bit.
You think about today, kids coming out of Harvard Business School, I think are pushing $200,000 a year starting salary.
Right.
And okay, it was 50 years ago, but still started at $13,500. He made sure that my starting offer was a little bit below the class average at that time, which was 14,000. That was Mark, always negotiating. And he was the most amazing guy, Jeff, I've ever met. He was brilliant. He was the hardest worker of anybody I ever encountered, and passed that trait on to all of us in senior positions at IMG. We became the same. He was two steps ahead of the competition all along the way. And his mind, he had such imagination, and it was fascinating, really a wonderful ride in a career in something that's really fun, sports. Who wouldn't want to work in sports, right?
Right. But Hughes, to think up those things, to be creative enough to be sitting at your desk or in a car or an airplane, wherever, doesn't matter where it happens. And you come up with stuff like, why couldn't we get Gatorade to do something with Tiger? Or, you know, I'm just making things up now, but the concept of an idea to put something together, and then IMG, Mark, yourself, all of a sudden it starts to take shape. I mean, the impetus of those ideas, you have to be pretty free flowing in your thinking to connect the dots, I would think.
Yeah, just creativity and imagination it definitely helps, Jeff. You know, it comes down to selling. There's selling in every single profession. You have to sell your podcast. You know, we had to sell our clients. You have to be knowledgeable. You have to be able to communicate. You know, if you're going to write a proposal to Gatorade, as you just mentioned, you have to be able to sell them on the idea that affiliating with Tiger would really be a good idea. You have to work hard. You have to be resilient. You know, you get turned down a lot in sales, but in whatever field you're in, and you just have to keep plugging, keep going along. And of course, it helps in our business to have superstars as your clients. And I had plenty of clients who'd never got to that stage, but I was lucky enough to represent and recruit and sign and represent six golfers who became number one in the world.
That's a big, well, that's pretty big to put on your business card. I'll just put it that way, Hughes. That's pretty big. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Hughes Norton, whose new book, Rainmaker. It's a fascinating read. You know, over the years, I'll say this before we go to break. Over the years, you've heard little tidbits about stuff, about working with Tiger or Norman or these things and the money and golf and all that. Well, Hughes kind of lays it all out for you, and that's why I say I would recommend this. Anyway, Hughes and I are going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Grilling at the Green.
Hey, everybody, JT here. You know, every week on Grilling at the Green, we bring you a travel tip, and that is brought to you by the Westin Dealerships. I've known those guys since I was a kid, and they have one way of doing business. It's called the Westin way. It's family-oriented, and there's no better people to deal with. Check out Westin Kia on Southeast Stark in Gresham, Oregon.
Welcome back to Grilling at the Green here on the iHeart Golf News Network, among other places. I'm Jeff Tracy. Today we're talking with Hughes Norton, the author of the new book, Rainmaker. He also had a little help from George Pepper on that. But we'll talk to George later on down the road. Hughes, this is the part of the show where I ask people to give us a golf travel tip. And I know you certainly traveled a lot. You probably logged a million miles in airplanes over the years. What would a travel tip be for just the everyday guy or lady that's taking a trip?
Well, this may be, you know, more of a well-known thing than some hidden nugget, Jeff, but for sure, if you love golf, you have to go to the British Isles. And you can go to numerous parts of the British Isles. If you just want to play in England, there's so many great courses around London and up in Northern England. There's Ireland, of course, which has a fabulous 8 or 10 golf courses.
Oh, yeah.
Take your pick. And of course, there's the home of golf, Scotland. And everybody in their life should go to St. Andrews and play the old course. You know, the R&A headquarters building is sitting right there behind the 18th green. It's an experience that everyone should have. And if you're really ambitious, I would urge you also, sort of code number one on my list for golf travels would be Australia. It's a very long trip, 12, 13 hour flight and so forth, but it's a marvelous climate. Wonderful, friendly people. Australians love Yanks and vice versa. And the golf courses there, particularly in the Melbourne area, what they call the Sand Belt, are right, Simply spectacular.
Yeah, I've got to play down there before, and I loved it. It was great. And yes, they're very friendly and go thirsty. That's what I'm going to tell people. Is go thirsty when you go down.
You can have a pint. You can have a lot of pints in either of those places, Scotland, Australia. It's all the same. After the round, let's sit down and talk about it.
I did get kind of hooked on port when I was in Australia, though, Hughes. I will tell you that I came home and my wife, who wasn't my wife at the time, I said, "We got to go to the liquor store." She goes, "Well, you got stuff at home." I said, "No, I'm got to get some port." She looked at me funny and I said, "You'll see." Anyway, I want to thank the folks at Kia for our Westin Kia, number one Kia dealership in the Northwest, for sticking with us on this and sponsoring the golf travel tips here. You know, it's interesting, as IMG grew and it repped more than just athletes, it repped like Margaret Thatcher and Oxford, and started its own TV production company in that. Was there anything that IMG would not do?
Good question. It must have seemed like that from the outside. You think about this foursome of clients and how far afield they are from one another. Margaret Thatcher's the first one you mentioned. Okay. Derek Jeter, superstar, Hall of Fame shortstop for the New York Yankees. Serena Williams, probably the most dominant woman's tennis player, if not number one, certainly in the top two or three. And Itzhak Perlman, who was a classical musician of some repute. And people say, "What? IMG? I thought they were a sports company."
Right. No, I just found it fascinating as you went on in the book and you kind of laid those things out there. I went, because I've dealt with IMG here locally at golf tournaments, bringing in, they actually took over the LPGA tournament here in Portland for a couple of years, and they've subsequently given it back. But point being is I dealt with some of those guys. I knew some guys, local guys that went to work for IMG, and they always seem to have their fingers in everything.
I would be I would be remiss, Jeff, not to interrupt you, but Portland is the home, as you well know, one of my favorite people in golf, period, and certainly one of my all-time favorite clients, Peter Jacobson, who founded his own production company, as you guys well know,
right.
Peter Jacobson Productions. They managed and ran golf events and special events and golf tournaments all around the country. Peter is near and dear to me, like a little brother. Loved working with him, loved representing him. I was just on the phone with him yesterday about some stuff. We've stayed in touch. Wonderful guy, and I know very much loved in the Portland community.
Oh yeah, very much so, very much so.
And his brother David, by the way, deserves a shout out. David, Peter has always said to me, his older brother David was a better player than I am. That's what Peter said. And David lost to Tiger Woods in the semifinals of the Pacific Northwest Amateur. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And it was when Tiger was at Stanford, and David was, I think, two up on the 13th tee. And of course, Tiger being Tiger did his usual thing and came back and beat him. But David, tremendous guy as well. Love David, and a fine player.
David's been on the show. We had a couple nice visits with him on the show. He's a great guy.
I hope he's listening. That's great.
He probably will be. In fact, I'll let him know. I'll send him a note that said he made the cut on this show too. So we'll do that. What was it like? We got a couple minutes, 3 minutes or so here, Hughes. What was it like to be around Mark McCormick on, if you will, a daily basis?
Let me pick the right descriptions or adverbs, adjectives. Intimidating, just because of his intelligence, his drive, the way his mind worked so quickly. Inspiring, you know, mm-hmm. he made you want to be better. He was brilliant. He was not much for small talk. He cut right to the chase. He always had something else that he had to get on a plane and do, or go somewhere and meet someone. Dave Marr, who was a client of ours for years, very funny guy. People who were our age, Jeff, yeah, will remember Dave Marr, great TV commentator. And Dave Marr said it best one day. He said, "Let's face it, Mark is hard of listening."
I get that. Yeah. It just seems like, you know, from what I gathered from the book, he was always, like you just said, always on the go, always had a meeting, always had to go here. Let me go talk to somebody else about another project, whatever. Did he ever shut it down for a day or two and take some time off?
He could relax in his own way. His relaxation, he loved what he did so much, Jeff, that his relaxation really was making the list of things that he couldn't wait to get to for tomorrow. He was just... And this is a sort of a sidebar, but I submit to you, and I was this way, and I'll bet you are, because I loved radio too. You don't become successful in whatever field it is unless you really love what you're doing. Yep. Or put another way, you know, you and I have both heard people over the years say, if you love what you do, it won't seem like work.
Right.
And that's the key. And you think 90% or whatever these stats we all read of the people who get up in the morning and go down to jobs that they hate. I mean, it's sad, really. But Mark was the opposite. Just so enthusiastic and so enthralled with everything he was doing. And what's the next great project? And hey, guys, what if we did this? And it was a whirlwind for sure with him. He got up at 4:30 every morning. Jeff, and called, of course, at that hour, it's 9:30 in Britain, and it's 6:30 at night in Japan. You know, he touched base with all the offices that we established around the world. He would get in the car to go wherever he was, either down to the office in Cleveland, which he wasn't at very much, frankly, or whatever city he was in the back of the limousine. He always had a secretary there. He was dictating memos, dictating letters, proposals. He was just the most driven and most dynamic kind of entrepreneur the world has ever seen.
Wow. We're going to take another break. We're going to be back with Hughes Norton talking about his new book, Rainmaker. We're going to get some really off the cuff remarks, I guarantee you, from Hughes when we come back. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever's at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it.
Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT. We thank you for listening on radio and on the podcasts. And you can watch the live video here in a few days as we are not live video at that point. But we'd like to thank Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. And don't forget our partners on the barbecue side with Gorilla Grills. We appreciate them. We're Hughes, we've actually turned this show into a golfing lifestyle. Part of it is cooking and part of it is character interviews and profiles. And so that'll be coming out a little later this year on Golf News Network TV, which it's already been cleared on a number of the cable platforms. So I thought I would share that with you.
Congratulations. But let's talk about the important stuff. When do guests get a overnight shipment of all the food and barbecue that we're talking about here?
Well, I do make it to Florida once in a while. I'll reach out to you and we'll cook. I don't know. My radio partner lives in Tampa and I've got a lot of friends in Orlando. I don't know where you live in conjunction to that, but it can be done. It can be done.
Guess you're not coming to Cleveland anytime soon, are you, Jeff?
No, but I have people I work with in Cleveland, so do that. Anyway, Mark, what I wanted to do was I wanted to throw out some names of some personalities that you either represent or represented or worked with. And I just wanted your initial, because you talk about all these people in the book, but I wanted to get your first impressions, okay? Yep. Start with some fun stuff here. Jim Nantz.
The most non-celebrity celebrity of all time. Whatever sport they play, whatever field, whether it's entertainment or music or whatever, the number one people invariably, inevitably, shall we say, become full of themselves. Mm-hmm. And Jim Nantz is the same humble, real, sincere guy that he was the first day that he got a job in broadcasting. Wonderful human being, cares about people. If he meets you, Jeff, a year and a half later, you'll be coming out of an elevator. You'll bump into him. He'll say, "Hey, Jeff, how's it going?" Yeah. He's just wonderful, wonderful guy. Everything you've heard about him, I'm babbling too much. I should have given one or two words, but he's the greatest. One of my great, most respected friends in this business.
You know, I'll tell you a little sidebar story, Hughes. Gary Van Sickle, writer for Sports Illustrated, or used to be, and now he's a contributor. He comes on the show. We're friends. And he told me that Jim Nantz called him on his birthday and they were just getting ready. They were like 10 minutes from going live from a football playoff. I don't remember which game. It doesn't matter. And Gary said, "Jim, don't you have a game to get?" He goes, "Don't worry about that. Just, I wanted to call you, wish you happy birthday, you know, see what you're doing," like that. And then 5 minutes later, he was live on CBS, you know? So
no, that's Jim. And by the way, Gary Van Sickle's a friend, did a great write-up recently for The First Call, which is an email thing that comes out every week about Rainmaker. He wrote up the book in very glowing terms. And I just appeared with Gary on his podcast last Friday.
Yeah, he's a good, good guy. Okay, next, Phil Mickelson.
Phil, well, certainly the greatest lefty of all time. A quirky guy. Has his own take on lots of things, was the most recently was the outspoken guy before he went to live and took the $150 million or whatever it was, you know, was publicly complaining to his fellow players and to the press if they'd listen that and he wasn't far off, that the PGA Tour had all this money that accumulated and was building all these fantastic, beautiful buildings on this campus in Ponte Vedra, Florida. And why wasn't the talent, i.e. Phil and all the other players, getting a bigger slice of this? And of course, you've seen what's happened. The PGA Tour, thanks to Liv, you know, competition always works, right? And right. The PGA Tour now has bumped their purses way up to compete against LIV. So,
yep. Mark O'Meara.
Good guy. You'll see in the book, kind of betrayed me. Not that he's wasn't entitled to do so in his dealings with Tiger Woods. The book traces how when we moved Tiger to Florida to save income tax, because he was in California.
Right.
And I asked Mark, because Tiger moved three houses down on the same street at a place called Isleworth in Florida. And I asked Mark, I said, look, you don't have to do this, but would you do me a favor? This kid's just starting on the tour. Somebody's got to show him the ropes. I can't be near him every day. You are. And Mark said, Hughes, it's an honor. I'd love to do that. I've heard so much about this kid. And then in the end, fast forward a few years, there's all kinds of evidence. Mark has denied it, that Mark was instrumental in saying to Tiger, hey, I don't have Hughes as my guy anymore. Why do you?
Okay. We already talked about Jake a little bit, but if you were to wrap up Peter Jacobson in one word, what would it be?
Funniest player on the tour.
Oh, yeah, ever. Absolutely.
And by that, I mean storytelling, imitating, you know, his great natural skill of imitating the voice, and even better, the swings of all the classic players. When Peter does a clinic, he brings the house down.
Bad. Oh, absolutely. we used to do Peter's party here in Portland, and I was I didn't do anything but attend, but it was always a great fun event for, you know, 3 days. It was incredible. Speaking of somebody else from Portland, Phil Knight,
one of the obviously most creative, successful people ever in the history of the hard goods business, the soft goods business, whatever you want to call shoes and clothes. They eventually got into golf clubs as well. Mercurial, very different, arm's length kind of guy. Genius, really.
Couple more real quick. Greg Norman.
I called him the first rock star at golf, or golf's first rock star.
Sure.
Jeff, you'll remember this. I mean, the guy is blonde, piercing blue eyes, broad shoulders, swashbuckling, funny, great sense of humor, Australian accent. The media loved him. He just commanded the room, whichever one he walked into, larger than life.
And finally, Tiger.
Laser focused. The game of golf. Practicing, playing, competing, winning. That was all he cared about. The outside income, as large as it was that we set up for him, was incidental, not important to him. It was GOLF 24/7.
You talk about the correlation between Tiger and the tour success. He basically said Fincham only had to keep the car between the white lines. I'm paraphrasing here. But you had a big part to do with that as far as bringing that income and getting that started. I mean, Tiger went from an amateur to $60 million in income in just a very short time. Do you think the tour actually has stayed on that and that path? You know, Fincham's no longer there. I get that. But also because Tiger is, you know, on the 18th tee of his career, as you might say. Are they still dependent upon that?
Actually, Peter was the one that came up with a line who said, Beeman, you know, put the Mercedes together. All Tim had to do was just keep his foot on the gas.
Yeah.
And we talk about this. I'll digress for a second, Jeff, because I think golf fans will find this very interesting. The book has three narrative threads. My story as an agent with, as you've referenced, all the behind the scenes stuff, which people find very interesting because there's stories in there you've never heard about Greg, about Tiger, right, about Nancy Lopez, Curtis Strange, and a lot of the other people that I work with. But at the same time, we chronicle the growth of professional golf. And hats off to Dean Beeman. He does not receive the credit he deserves. And we go through it year by year, what he did to change the PGA Tour from what it was when I went out there in the early 70s, really a mom and pop operation, to this billion-dollar behemoth that it's become. And the third narrative, and we've touched on it, is sports management. You know, Mark McCormick invented this industry. And today, people are understandably sick of agents. There's too many agents, but back then there were none. And Mark laid, you know, the groundwork and created the industry. And so we trace the history of IMG. Again, that's never been chronicled. It's amazing to me that no one's written a history of IMG. And it should be a 500 or 600 page book because of the breadth of clients that you referenced we were going through. You know, we represented the Pope at one point. Seriously? So that book's never been written, and we weren't trying to write that book, but there was a lot about Mark and how IMG grew and some of the growing pains and things we did right and things we did wrong. So the three elements are all in there for people who love golf. I think it's I'm too close to it, but most people who have read it find it fascinating.
I loved it. I loved every page of it. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to come back with the most pressing question for Hughes Norton right after this. Don't go away.
Hey everybody, JT here. If you need something to practice with in the inclement weather, try Birdie Ball. Go to birdieball.com, check out the actual Birdie Balls, their packages, their putting greens, which I happen to have a couple of those, and they work great. birdieball.com.
Welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT. You can hear us on all the platforms, a bunch of radio stations. You can go to our website and find those. And of course, YouTube and all those things. We're talking with Hughes Norton, whose new book, Rainmaker. It's been out about, what, 10 days, 12 days, something like that?
It's been out exactly right. It's been out 9 days, JT, and I'm happy to report that since the day it came out, we've been number one on Amazon's best new books in golf.
Excellent.
And they have a whole other category called the entertainment category of books. And I had never seen that before. And Simon & Schuster, our publisher, sent that to me on day one. And if you can believe this, we were number one, two, and three, hardcover, Kindle, and audio version of the book, which I recorded, in the entertainment category. Now behind us are all these books about Netflix and movies and stuff. So we're just like,
wow,
we can't believe it. It's been a bestseller. It's great.
With all the ups and downs in your career and that you've written about and your dealings with the actual clients and your dealings with Mark and you touched a lot on your personal life, your divorce and this and that, what's the one thing that you think that affected you most over all those years?
Just the lifestyle, I would say, Jeff. You know, a sports agent's job seems very glamorous from the outside, but let me tell you, you get tired of forever living a road trip.
Yeah.
Airplanes and hotels. We were always in pursuit of the next superstar in whatever sport it was. And, chasing the can't miss prospects, and often the can't miss prospects do miss. Hearing from clients on sort of a regular basis that didn't really appreciate what you'd done for them, the famous line, "What have you done for me lately?"
Right.
And then finally, toward the end, you know, IMG, so powerful and so dominant in our industry, IMG kind of became a four-letter word. So toward the end of my career, I found myself defending the firm that I worked for all the time. And that's no fun on any sort of regular basis.
No. Do you miss it?
You know, I can tell you I don't. It was kind of shocking the way it ended for me. And we go into that in the book. I think people will find that very interesting, being fired by Tiger and then 3 months later by the only guy I had ever worked for, Mark McCormick, after 30 years. But from that moment on, I really don't. It took me a while, you know, when you're retired all of a sudden and you're not planning for it. I would get up every day for better part of a year and look at the yellow pad and say, okay, what have I got to do today? And I'd say to myself, wait, you don't have to do anything.
What do you do now, Hughes?
I've just been spending a lot of time with my kids, my grandkids. I have three of them out in Colorado. Love going to see them. playing golf with friends, traveling around a bit. I stay in touch with some of our clients, not so much Greg and Tiger, but people like Bill Rogers, Peter Jacobson, you know, Curtis Strange. We've been all friends for a long time. And you go through so many things in their lives for as long as I did. You're close to them, whether you plan to continue to be or not.
Don't you kind of become their, what's the word I'm looking for? Their muse almost in a way when they're, hey Hughes, I got a problem with this, or hey Hughes, what do you think about this? Or, you know, I'm assuming it could come from any direction on any subject.
You're very perceptive. Yeah. Some of the guys still do that. Peter, for example, calls and we have those sort of discussions all the time. And remember, I'm 8-10 years older than these guys, so I'm still sort of, hey, you know, the partially wise old man, maybe.
Well, that does come with wisdom. I mean, age and wisdom, they're kind of correlated there. Real quick, we do a segment, Hughes, called After Hours, which is kind of some fun stuff. So when we wrap up the regular show, please stay with us here. But what's on the horizon now for Hughes Norton?
Well, I'm, if I'm lucky, 3/4 of the way through. I guess maybe I'm on the 12th or 13th hole.
Yeah.
Jeff, maybe less to go than that. And that was part of the sort of serendipitous timing of this book. I woke up, I was 75 years old. It was 50 years since I joined IMG. It was 25 years since both Tiger and McCormick fired me. And my great friend George Pepper, and we haven't said enough about my collaborator. George has always been my favorite golf writer. He was the editor of Golf Magazine for 25 years, and he knew me. We negotiated against each other. We played golf together, and it enabled him to write very authentically in my voice, Jeff, which is really important when you're writing an autobiography.
Right.
You know, a stranger can't do that. But George he's the editor of Lynx Magazine to this day, writes a column in that quarterly publication, which I promise you will make you laugh every time you read it. He's that good. And he just made this book flow. And if we if the book's successful, if we do get lucky enough to be a bestseller one day, you know, tremendous amount of credit goes to George.
Absolutely. And I think you're on the right track there. Hughes Norton, the book is Rainmaker. It's there in the left-hand bottom of your screen. Pull it over in front of you there, would you, Hughes? And it's Super Agent Hughes Norton and the Money Grab Explosion of Golf from Tiger to Live and Beyond. It's a fascinating read. And like Hughes just said, it gives you some behind-the-scenes stuff that maybe you thought happened, but you weren't sure, or things you'd never heard of, but Hughes was there when it was going on, and he shares that with you. Hughes, I want to thank you for your time being on Grilling at the Green, man.
Jeff, a great privilege. People can get this on Amazon, and I think pretty much every bookstore. I hope Portland is stocking some for the many golf fans there.
I'm almost guarantee you that it's at Powell's Bookstore. It's one of the biggest privately owned books companies in the world, and they take up a city block or so. So they've actually got a couple, three locations. So I'm pretty sure it's there, but
wonderful.
We're going to do that. Anyway, we are going to get out of here. Hughes and I are going to do after hours after this. We thank you all for listening. Have a great week. Go out there, play some golf, and most of all, be kind. Take care, everybody.
Grilling at the Green is produced by JTSD Productions, LLC, in association with Salem Media Group, all rights reserved.